This Bible talk, titled I Am the True Vine, is on John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. It's the final talk in our series on the I Am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel, and it was recorded at Robina on Sunday, the 10th of October, 2021.
What's your connection like with God? How is your intimacy with Him? We all long to be connected with God. Our desire is for intimacy, but life, it gets so busy and so demanding that we fail to notice often what's happening inside of us and what it is that Jesus told us to do. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So, how's your intimacy with God? What's your connection like with Him? After listening to a sermon on the Beatitudes, Simeon was stirred to a lifelong pursuit of God. In 423 AD, Simeon left his home and family in Cilicia and headed to into the searing Syrian desert. There, under the sizzling Syrian sun, Simeon started a spiritual fad that lasted centuries. For three decades, friends, that's 30 years, Simeon sat on top of a pole in the desert in order to be closer to God. Tied to his perch with only a rope so that he wouldn't fall off while he slept, he was exposed to all of the elements, and his followers brought him food and removed his personal waste by using a ladder. Thousands came out to gawk at this pillar hermit who lived in the desert. Hundreds listened to him daily as he preached on prayer and selflessness and justice. But those who came out to listen to him, and even as you hear about him now, surely the question is, did Simeon's life on a pole bring him any closer to God? Spiritual zeal is always taken a variety of forms. Most of them are strange and usually extreme. And even today, all over the world, people go to unimaginable lengths in order to find God, which is kind of sad when you consider the unimaginable lengths that God's already gone to in order to find us. The first 1,000 years of Christianity certainly saw its fair share of the unimaginable and bizarre. As the early church began to grow in its size, so the world began to grow within the church. Hungry for holiness, many gathered into communities, competing with one another in the quest for self-denial. By living on a pole in a desert for 30 years, you'd have to say Simeon won that contest. He also lived with an iron chain around his feet and buried himself in sand up to his neck for several months. Back then, many Christians reacted to the world by withdrawing to a life of poverty, chastity, and separation. And many Christians today are still reacting to the world, adopting a posture of retreat and withdrawal from it. In our stance against worldliness, in our reaction to the world, many of us are still doing some strange and bizarre things. Sure, we're not living on poles in the desert, but on certain issues, we are poles apart from others, aren't we? We take a different stance about all sorts of things, things that the world thinks, says, and does. But surely the question remains, doesn't it? Do any of our reactions bring us any closer to God? We've been looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus, intimate statements made by Jesus, statements recorded for us in John's Gospel, intimate statements about who Jesus is and how we are connected to him. In case you're just joining us or you've missed some of our I Am statements, let me give you an example of how all of this works. In John 10, Jesus tells us who he is. I am the Good Shepherd. And then he tells us how we're connected to him. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Who Jesus is, how we're connected to him. And that's exactly what John 15 is all about. John 15 is all about intimacy. John 15 is about deep connection, intimacy. This is who I am. You can know me. And connection, here's how we're joined together. Jesus tells us who he is and how we're connected to him. So let's see how he tells us who he is in John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. See, very clearly, Jesus tells us who he is. I am the true vine. But before he tells us how we're connected to him, he tells us first about his connection with the Father. See it there, my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus, the true vine, has a pre-existing relationship with the Father, who is the farmer. But we already knew that, didn't we? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They're the three was's of John chapter 1. Existence, intimacy, and divinity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who Jesus is. That's his connection with the Father. For a major New Testament exam that I had to sit at Bible college, I had to translate John 15, that's this passage that we're reading this morning, from Greek into English. The word vine dresser can also be translated as farmer. It's from the Greek word gigorios, which sounds like the name George, doesn't it? I am the vine, and my Father is George. So it's not Harold, as in Harold be your name. God's more likely to be called George. Just kidding. The reason I'm telling you this, though, is that this was a memory hook for my exam. But if you were sitting among the disciples listening to Jesus speaking in the upper room, Jesus' words about vines and vine dressers might have triggered a memory for you too. Not only is the Old Testament imagery of vines and vineyards a reference to Israel's faithfulness, or should I say more accurately, faithlessness, but now Jesus says he is the true vine, which clearly implies that all other vines up until this point have now failed. Isaiah makes that connection for us, chapter 5, verse 7, the words here behind me. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. See it there, the Lord himself owns and plants a vineyard for himself. The Father is the vine dresser, but Israel are the vineyard. And they only ever produced sour grapes. Bloodshed instead of justice. Distress instead of righteousness, says the prophet Isaiah, who asks, what more could God have done for them? Psalm 80 tells us what God did for them. Psalm 80 verse 8, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. What more could God have done for them? But there was never any harvest from this vine. It only ever produced a bad product. The fruit was never collected, and the only crushing that was done was inflicted on the Father's heart himself. And so God sets his face against fruitlessness because Israel acted faithlessly. What will God do with Israel? Ezekiel tells us, chapter 15, verse 6, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so have I given up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them. Though they escape from the fire shall yet consume them. And you will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them, and I will make the land desolate because they have acted faithlessly, declares the Lord God. Jesus now says that he is the true vine, true because he is faithful where Israel was faithless. Fruitful vines, they are worthless to the vine dresser, a waste of precious and valuable real estate, only useful for adding fuel to the fire, which is exactly what Jesus says now in verse 2, isn't it? John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Fruitless branches, they get thrown away, cut off and tossed into the fire. They are only good for firewood, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Branches that don't abide in the vine, see it there, they wither. Fruitless branches get removed and incinerated. Now, it's really easy for us to get lost in this metaphor, isn't it? What is Jesus talking about? Well, the key to understanding what he's saying is in verse 2, and it's found in the words, being made clean because of the word. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. Friends, it's the original dark night of the soul. Later tonight, Jesus will be betrayed and then arrested. Come the morning, they'll crucify him. Jesus has just washed the feet of his disciples, but Peter protests about his pedicure. See it with me, John 13, verse 9. If I do not wash you, you will have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, not all of you are clean. Who is the one that is not clean? Judas, the one who will betray him. Who will be cut off and thrown into the fire? Fruitless Judas, who doesn't remain in the vine. Who gets pruned so that they might bear more fruit? Well, it's protesting Peter and his triple denial of Jesus, isn't it? Who only is restored as a shepherd after the resurrection, the apostle who will preach the gospel to the nations. Friends, the word he has revealed to us makes us clean. Jesus has told us who he is. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And having told us who he is, now he tells us how we can connect with him, how to have our share with him. Jesus says this is what intimacy looks like. See it with me, friends, in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Bearing fruit, not being worthless branches, means that we need to remain in the vine. That's how we're connected with Jesus. Fruitful branches stay connected to the vine. Now, we've already seen what happens when withering branches don't produce fruit. Branches like Israel, branches like Judas, branches cultivated in love by the vine dresser himself only to produce faithlessness and fruitlessness. They get cut down, don't they? Removed and thrown into the fire and are burned. You see, friends, it's as simple as this. You're either in the vine or you're in the fire. But branches that remain in the vine, they bear fruit. Remaining or abiding means staying put. Remaining means continuing as his disciples no matter what happens. Our commitment is one of permanence and perseverance. You see, discipleship isn't simply a six-week course that we run as a program at church. It's a lifelong commitment to the formation of a Christ-like life. A formation and development and its influence that are lived over a lifetime. It's a relationship of discovery rather than an over-reliance on more information, more knowledge, set answers, and nice programs. Remaining isn't a matter of passive resting. Abiding isn't simply a one-way street. Jesus' life and his love, they flow through us into others. You see, Jesus didn't say, I am the vine and you are the fruit. Jesus says, we're the branches. God doesn't take empty people to fill them. He takes empty people to make them fruitful. We draw on the life of Jesus and we pass it on to others. We bear fruit and create new branches. We are blessed, friends, in order to be a blessing. Jesus here, he desires a close-knit relationship with us, a relationship of deep and personal intimacy, an organic and vital connection with him, just like a vine has with its branches. The quality of our lives lived as disciples, as his disciples, is tied to the depths of our intimacy with God. So how's your intimacy with God? What's your connection like with Jesus? Because an hour on Sunday isn't going to produce healthy and fruitful disciples now, is it? And occasional prayers and the odd Bible verse here and there will only leave you withering on the vine and wilting in the pew. Do you hear his words? Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And so, friends, a healthy and a fruitful church isn't trying to produce great events and a better occasion. It's trying to produce great people. And only a constant diet of God's word is the key to our lasting fruitfulness and connection with him. So look there with me at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The intimacy between Jesus and his disciples, between the vine and the branches, can you see it there, is connected to the Father's intimacy with the Son, between the vine and the vine dresser. In the beginning, before the creation of the world, we're told that the Father loves the Son. God is love. A God who lives in solitude and seclusion cannot be described as a God of love, can he? But the God who lives as Trinity, one God in three persons, exercises profound love. As the Father loves the Son, so the Son loves us. Elsewhere, John says that God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so the Son is the mediator of the Father's love, but the Father loves us too. As the Father loves the Son, so the Son and the Father, they love us. And we can enjoy intimacy with Jesus, intimacy that Jesus enjoyed with his Father. But that kind of intimacy, friends, that level of connection, it only happens when you remain in the vine. And intimacy with Jesus comes through our obedience to him. See that there, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. To abide in his love means to obey his commandments. Obedience is how we remain in his love. As the Son obeys the Father's commandments, so we obey the commandments of the Son. And Jesus' submission to his Father's will here is the model for our submission to the Father as well. But before we see what it is that the Son now commands us, I want you to see with me very carefully that this isn't how we become disciples. Obedience isn't required before discipleship. Obedience is what keeps us alive in the vine. Obedience is what keeps us hanging in there. Already we are loved by the Father and the Son, and so obedience doesn't create intimacy. Obedience grows our intimacy with Jesus. It doesn't create, it sustains. Excuse me. Obedience is how we abide in his love. Obedience to him is how we remain in the vine. And I also want you to see that obedience that the Son commands us, it's neither burdensome nor oppressive like the law was. Obedience to the Son brings us joy. His joy in us is the joy that makes us complete. So what is it that the Son commands us? What is the command he wants us to obey? Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. The commandment of the Father to the Son is the same commandment that the Son now gives to us. As the Father has loved the Son, as the Son has loved us, see it there, so we must love one another. Love one another as I have loved you, Us branches of the vine, friends, we really need to stick together. Love is how we remain in the vine, loving one another as the Son has loved us. You know, it's no coincidence that here in the upper room, after Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples, having already indicated that Judas will betray him before foretelling that Peter will deny him three times, at that point, Jesus also gave a new commandment. John 13:34, see it with me. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How Jesus loved us is how we are to love one another. See how he loved us. He told his disciples what he's about to do. You do that with friends, don't you? You let them into your life. You share intimate details with them. But now one of his friends will betray him. And another one of his friends will deny him three times. But Jesus shows us how he loves us as his friends by laying down his life for us. There is no greater love than this. His love for us. And that's how we're connected to him. So often we think it's our reaction to things that makes us stand out for God. What we eat or drink, what we don't eat or don't drink, who we vote for, who we didn't vote for, what we do or don't put into our bodies. In a hunger for holiness from the world, Christians still do some strange and bizarre things, don't they? Our stance is still one of retreat and withdrawal, a reaction to what the world thinks, says, and does. And we think that's the strength of our connection with God, what we do. We think that's the measure of our intimacy with God. But like living up a pole in the desert, the question remains, do our reactions ever bring us any closer to God? Friends, being buried up to your neck in sand won't bring you any closer to God, but neither will burying your head in sand either. You see, it's not about self-denial. It's about dying to ourselves, laying down our life for our friend, who laid down his life for us. Greater love has no one than this, and friends, we have his love. The Father and the Son, they love you. They love you with an everlasting and eternal love. So what's your connection like with God? How's your intimacy with him? Our connection and our intimacy with God are never measured by our reactions. They are only ever measured by our actions. Love one another as I have loved you. And suddenly it's easier to live up a pole in the desert than to love the people here who drive you up the wall, isn't it? The demonstration of your love and your connection with God is evidenced by your love for other disciples. Jesus' love and his life, they flow through us into others. We are blessed to be a blessing. It's the new commandment that Jesus gives us. It's how the world will know that we're his disciples. Friends, the fruit that we bear isn't simply about bearing more disciples. The fruit that we bear is to love one another. Love that lays down its life for its friends. Love that moves towards others rather than withdrawing and retreating in privacy and seclusion. A fruitful church moves towards one another in love. Love that reflects the love of the Father and the Son. That's how Jesus loved us. That's how we're to love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Hey, you want to do something strange and bizarre and outstanding? Start loving the people that are here as intimate friends. And if you want to work out how to do that, I would love to talk with you. If you want to grow in your connection with God, what it means to be intimate, and how we might start moving towards one another in love, I'm going to sit right there this morning. You want to come and talk to me? I'd love to speak with you about it. I don't want to talk about anything else. I want to talk about that. So don't talk to me if you don't want to talk about that. Unless you see me over coffee, because by then I've given up. That's what I want to talk about. Maybe you might want to talk with me about it too. Let's pray. Father, you have loved us with a deep and everlasting love. A love that exists between the Father and the Son before the creation of the world, and love that expressed itself when you gave your one and only Son in love for us. And now you command us to love one another the way you love us. Lord Jesus, we want to pray that we might move towards you in intimacy and connection, and that in so doing we might learn how to move towards one another, to know and to be known by you, the Father, the one who cultivates and grows us, the one who prunes in order that we might grow and bear more fruit. Merciful God, would you allow us to be a family, a church family that moves towards each other in love, where we're able to encourage one another, but also to point out the things that need cultivating and pruning in our own lives, that we might be more fruitful. And to do that in such a way where we're not so defensive and self-protective, but to do it in such a way in the deep knowledge that we are known and loved by you. Would you do that work in us, Lord God, for as long as it takes? And would you help us to love you and to love one another the way you've loved us? For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.